wonderful things come from saying yes. Wonderful things come from saying yes. Right out of the gate this morning, I'll invite you and challenge you to wrestle with these questions this morning. How do you sense God calling you? To what? To whom? To where? And what's keeping you from saying a humble, hearty yes? Recall that last week we learned the chief business of angels. Chief business of angels. They're sent by God to carry out his mission and message in the world. Angels sent by God to carry out his mission and his message in this world. They work powerfully to advance the kingdom agenda, and in some way, they always spotlight Jesus. Angels always, in some way or another, spotlight Jesus. That's what's happening here with Gabriel. Last week, we saw his message to Zechariah that Elizabeth would give birth to a son, John. And now, the angel is sent to Mary. And it's stunning. Advent, Christmas season, this season we're in right now, supplies us with opportunities to hear God's invitation, his call to join his plans. We know all about planning. Many of you right now are totally in planet mode. You've got the list going, you're making your lists and checking them twice, and all of the planning going on. But on the bigger and deeper things, beyond the seasonal plans, we typically make our life plans, and what do? We lock in firm on what we want, right? And so we say things like, this must be the job you have for me, Lord. Or we say, surely the Lord wants my life easy and happy. That's what you want, God, right? Life easy and happy. These must be my people, Lord. These must be my peeps and the influence spot you have for me, Lord. Or when it comes to opportunities, we say things like, no messes. The Lord wouldn't want any messes or relational clashes. Surely, Lord, you want great health for my family and friends. No cancer, no heart conditions. And certainly no call to new adventures. I mean, adventures, those are risky things. No setbacks, no shame, no conflict or criticism. And Lord, if you do invite me, challenge me, call me into something, well, surely it will be mission easy. Nothing that messes with my plans too much. No real stretches or uncomfortability. Ever ponder such reflections? I have. That's why I can spout off those right there to you. Today's bigger, better, biblical reality is this: wonderful things come from saying yes to God. Wonderful things come from saying yes to God. Bonus question, really belongs right here at the bottom of this list. Bonus question, here it is. How do we open our hearts to say yes, a hearty yes to God's plans? How do we open our hearts to say a hearty yes to God's plans? Well, angelic influence will help. Let's look deeper at the story. Check out Luke 1, 26 through 28. Luke 1, 26 through 28, God's word says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Angel Gabriel is impressive. shocking, intimidating even. His name means God is strong and mighty. And he's sent to the village of Nazareth, a no big deal, often denigrated village in southwest Galilee. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was commonly said in their day. It's Mary's hometown. I catch this synopsis about angels by Robert J. Morgan. By the way, this is my top shelf recommendation angel book of this season. If you're looking for something really, really powerful to read, it's rich in pictures, but more than that, rich in biblical insight. The angelology in this book is incredible, incredible insight. Morgan says this: in biblical text, angels pop in and out of stories as naturally as we drop into a coffee shop or out of the office. To believe the Bible is to believe in angels. And Morgan tells us there are 6 known sightings of angels connected with our Lord's nativity. The first was Gabriel's visit to Zechariah. That's the one we saw last week. Then Gabriel trekked to Nazareth to tell Mary. It's the scene we see today. The angel appeared 3 times to Joseph. We're going to see that interaction next week. We also have the spectacular scene over the fields of Bethlehem as the sky erupted in the greatest choir of angels in history. And those are the scenes we'll see on Christmas Eve weekend. Back in Luke chapter 1, the verses here we learn. Note it. Mary is a virgin. Excuse me. Now, here's where the story gets very real to life. She's betrothed, which means legally pledged in marriage. This was something like modern-day engagement, something like it. How many of you have had somebody in your family or close friend recently get engaged? How many of you? How many of you might have a wedding in the works in your family? Anybody? Okay. This was that, only more. Betrothal was socially, legally binding. She's 13 or 14 years old. Some scholars say 15 or 16, but that's the upper age edge. Joseph, a carpenter by trade, was likely just a shade older. There would have been a legal contract. Now note that, here's the big difference. Legal contract established with parents and Joseph. By custom of the day, she's already viewed as Joseph's wife. Except there's been no ceremony, celebration, or sexual consummation of the marriage. All of that customarily happened approximately 1 year after betrothal. Look at what most stuns Mary, urging her to say yes to God's plans. Verse 28. Gabriel calls her highly favored. Highly favored. Now, this is actually ancient lingo that's freighted with significance. Highly favored literally means she's the recipient of God's marvelous grace. Marvelous grace. Lavish kindness. Stir on this. This favor, this kindness, this grace. Mary is filled with grace by God, and it's grace overflowing. Yes, right here, very, very early in the Christmas story, we're told that Jesus' arrival is all about amazing grace. Gargantuan love and kindness we as humans do not deserve of our own merit, works, and effort. That's grace. Gargantuan love. The kindness of God poured out that we as humans do not deserve of our own merit, works, and effort. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, because Mary was human just like us. Imperfect, flawed, sinful, just like you and me. But the free gift of God was poured out for her. It would have seemed shocking to her because she is really just a normal girl living in Nowheresville, Nazareth. Like all of us, she needed a savior and a king. Are you shocked by grace? Seriously. Are you shocked by grace? Consider God's grace poured out for you. Are you willing to say yes today to God's stunning kindness, his all-out love that gives us forgiveness, new purpose, new life, new destiny? Plenty stunning to realize at Christmas time. All the lights, the songs and the stars, and certainly the angels served a billboard. The lavish love that God's offering every one of us. Question is, will you say yes? Yes, Lord. Yes, I receive your love. You're calling on my life. Yes, I turn from my selfishness and my sinfulness. I say yes to you as my Savior and King. Ponder and personalize that. And say a hearty yes today to King Jesus. Gabriel dropped another stunning statement. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now, this is no flimsy, feel-good statement. This isn't just some little pep talk to Mary. No. These same words were reserved for bold heroes of faith, people like the patriarch Joseph back in Genesis. The old, old stories. It was said of Moses, the Lord is with you. And Joshua, the Lord is with you. Whenever God was unveiling some new big move of grace, big move in his plans, it was said, the Lord is with. And this typically meant hard times to come, heartbreak even. Yes, joyous opportunities, absolutely, but also struggle and grieving even. Sometimes, quite often, the Lord's calling means that kind of season, that path that God is calling us to travel. And now, it's being said of Mary. It's a big part of why she was so stunned. And still today, this statement, the Lord is with you, is declared in and for and through ordinary people like you and me. He wants you to know that he is with you, for you, and ready to accomplish solid, good, hard, difficult, joyous, new things through you. In fact, one of Jesus' special names is Emmanuel. God with us. His very presence with us. So are you saying yes? A hearty yes to his personal presence. Help, hope, forgiveness and joy, even in the face of all he's calling you to. Mary is stunned. Look at verses 29 and 30. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Just like with Zach, Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid." And now he emphasizes to Mary again, notice it, again, God's favor. Again, the grace of God poured out. His all-out grace for her. Listen to verses 31 to 33. Just listen. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom of his kingdom. There will be no end. Mary's role is extremely unique. Mother to the Messiah, the Son of God. There can be a good bit of controversy and mistaken false theology surrounding Mary. The kind that leads people to either venerate, pray to, worship Mary, or really downplay her role. Both approaches to Mary represent something that's false. What's vital to realize is this: like the angels, Mary always spotlights Jesus. For Mary, like the angels, it's all about Jesus. Gabriel says this boy will be mega influential. Son of the Most High, a title packed with significance in Israel's history. He will rule from the throne of his ancestor David forever. Forever is a long time. Forever. No end to his kingdom. Stunning. All of God's promises to send a Messiah will come to fulfillment through Mary and her child. The story really turns revolutionary and would require real courage. Mary would have naturally concluded this to mean, she would have naturally concluded this to mean overthrow of Rome, expulsion of cruel, evil King Herod, and the wondrous reestablishment of Israel as God's absolutely favored people on the world stage right then. A big part of Mary's own journey, and really the journey for all of us, is clarifying what Jesus' rule and reign really means. It would start with an upside-down, humble, serving kingdom. That's what Jesus proclaims in the Sermon on the Mount, a serving kingdom punctuated then by his gracious cross and his victorious resurrection and then his ascension back to the Father. Right now, still right now today, it's a very different kind of rule and reign. For Mary, in these moments of hearing Gabriel, she heard freedom and deliverance for poor family members and friends of hers and those who were so needy and so oppressed and so desperate. And in the days and months and years to come, there would be more to clarify and understand. And the same is true for all of us. In following King Jesus, it's a constant need to clarify and to better understand what it means to know and follow Jesus. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Isn't it interesting how many of the core questions these original Christmas characters ask, we're still asking our own versions today? How will this be? Last week, Zechariah said, "How can I know for certain?" Solid questions, really. Since Mary knows her own sexual ethic and history, personal commitment to holiness. Listen to verses 35 to 37. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And behold, verse 36, "Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary. and do this miraculous creative work. He will be called holy, one of a kind, unique, set apart, the Son of God. And then we see this stunning piece of Mary's story. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Message paraphrase says it like this: nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say." Then the angel left her. Several years back, our family was visiting my mom in Ohio at the holidays. Nance and the boys and I. Saturday after Thanksgiving, early morning, we really only had routine plans for the day. The plan was to just hang out and recover from our travel on that Wednesday before and all the holiday hubbub and kind of prepare for the journey back to Pennsylvania. Mom is from out there in Ohio, lives out there. And Mom and I were up early in the morning, drinking coffee like we usually do. Nobody else was up yet. And in the midst of coffee time, she said to me, "Hey, how about after everybody else gets up and around, we drive to Columbus and go to Easton for the day?" Easton is one of those town-like, walk-outside shopping spots. We'd never been there. Our immediate family hadn't been. Mom had, but Nance and the boys and I had not been to Easton. Honestly, deep inside me, when Mom asked that, I said to myself, deep inside now, this is just like internal John conversation. Shopping the Saturday after Thanksgiving at a major shopping spot near Columbus. I'm tired and vegging on the couch, watching football and eating snacks and drinking root beer. That sounds so much more appealing. Inside. Now, this is just my internal conversation, right? But I could tell that Mom really liked the idea. And I knew that the rest of the family, when they woke up and heard about getting out of the house, that this would, well, that they would like it too. And so inside, I quickly adjusted internal reframing, internal attitude. I adjusted, and I looked at Mom, and I smiled, and I said a hearty yes. Okay, there might have been a little bit inside still going, but I said a yes. And sure enough, that day proved memory-making together. It did. I'm not kidding you. We discovered creative shops that we'd never seen before. We got delectable coffee. We posed for goofy pictures. I still have a number of them on my phone to this day. That was several years ago. We laughed hysterically. It even snowed. Bonus. And to this day, I'm so glad. So glad I said yes. Mary said, "Yes, indeed. May it be." Now, why is this so stunning? Think at another level on this. Consider what she's saying yes to. Yes to wagging tongues of gossip. She'll be expecting before the wedding, and she'll have to explain to family and neighbors. How much fun is that? A story that, who's going to believe? The Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, right, sure. I recall when my sons had the Family and Consumer Science baby for the dreaded weekend. And if you remember that, is that you're laughing? You parents, grandparents, you remember that the Family Consumer Science baby, the rubber baby you have to carry around the whole weekend, and it squawks at times and needs fed and changed and all that. I remember going out in public with it, and oh boy, all the stares. For Mary and family, this meant gossip. She was saying yes to gossip. Scandal, yes. Not just then, but for a lifetime. Seriously. In fact, the Hebrew label was this funny word, sota. A sota was an expected, anticipated, suspected adulteress. Sota. Deuteronomy 22, 23 and 24, as well as Numbers 5, Deuteronomy 22 and Numbers 5 spell out investigation, trial of sorts, and judgment against a sota. Now, we know on this side of the story what played out. We have historical advantage. Mary did not. Mary's betrothed, Joseph, mercifully did not demand letter of the law. But she didn't know that it would play out like that. She said yes without knowing the outcome. And if right now you're hearing God's call, if right now you're hearing God's call, but you're still wondering and doubting and dancing with a gajillion questions, drop back to the angelic words in verse 37. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Too many of us let ourselves get locked into patterns of pessimism and cynicism and doubt and disbelief, and it bleeds over into everything in our lives. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. With the angel Gabriel's message and Mary's response, I want to urge you as we finish today to grab these three motivators. If you're still at a spot, and you probably are because I have been frequently, but if you're still in one of those spots where you're like, okay, yes, yes, it's a good answer, especially to God, but how? Well, consider these three motivators. Here's the first one. God's creative promises, the Holy Spirit's old, old stories. He breathed. The breath of God. The God-breathed old stories. The holy scriptures. The inspired of God breath. Creative promises. Why might Mary encounter Gabriel and respond, yes, let it be. She already knew God deeply, even as a very young woman. Let this blow your mind. She's 13 or 14, maybe 15, 16 years old, max. She knew the stories from her people's past, the deliverance God had worked, and the promises, the old, old God-breathed prophecies of Messiah to come. And so she dared to believe God really meant it when he promised that he was with her. Do you know God like that? Do you know God's word like that? How about letting this season be the kind of season when in a renewed way, with a holy spark, you get your mind, your heart, your nose, your mind, your heart into the ancient breath of God in fresh ways and new ways. Every week we load into the church app right there what to read for the coming week and how to be in God's word, invite you, challenge you to be right there. She dared to believe God because she knew what he promised. What else can motivate? Not only creative, old, God-breathed words, but here's the second motivator. Mary-like, grace-based faith. So ask your honest questions. Ask those honest questions. Mary-like, grace-based faith. So ask the questions. In what area is God messaging you? You're used to getting messages. Some of you have gotten some in the last few moments, and you're like, no, I'm not supposed to look. I'm in church. I'm not supposed to look. Somebody's messaged you. I've had a couple come through on my phone right here, on my iPad. Yeah, what's God messaging you with? What are you hearing from the Lord? Is God urging your family to start a new tradition of reaching out to someone in need? Don't forget Hebrews 13:2. You never know. When you entertain a stranger, you never know. Is he mixing up your plans and inviting you into his mission? Maybe even something that seems ridiculous, difficult, uncomfortable, scary, messy, part of his upside down kingdom plans. Maybe he's called you into a season of hard, humble grieving. A lot of us in that season right now. It can be all too hard. My grandpa died rather suddenly at the holidays when I was 15. He was diagnosed the week before Thanksgiving and gone the week before Christmas. It was hard. Nance and I, as a young couple, lost a baby around the holidays. It's hard. It's hard to be called to that. Perhaps your calling is grieving like that. Perhaps your calling is right at the center, core to your soul and your eternal destiny, the call to actually follow Jesus. And if you're hearing that call, if you're hearing that call today, I urge you, ask your questions, absolutely. Glean your answers, seek solid answers, absolutely. Questions and solid answers serve as catalysts to saying yes to faith that you can grow for a lifetime. It's wonderful. But make sure you say yes. Make sure you say yes. And here's the third motivator. Jesus' own empowering presence, because he's transforming you. Jesus' own empowering presence. He's with you and he's transforming you. Some of you are holding back because you are crazy scared about what God might be calling you to do or do to you. What if that's not really the issue at all? Seriously. Hosanna Wong says, when Jesus calls you to something, it's less about what he wants you to do and more about who he wants you to become. There are many reasons to fear, but there's a greater reason to be brave. Taking a step of faith brings you closer to Jesus and welcomes him in to transform your life. Wonderful things come from saying yes to God. Back to those opening questions. How do you sense God calling you? To what? To whom? To where? What's keeping you from saying a humble, hearty yes? Lord, thank you that you are calling still today. Help us in greater ways. Help our hearts say yes. Help us dare to hear the old, old stories, your breath, oh Lord. Help us hear you say a hearty yes. Move in us in fresh ways. Please, oh God. Stir anew, afresh in our hearts.